Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Kaf Ches BeNisan, Tav Shin Ayin Hey, Parshas Tazria Metzora, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 16 April 2015. Webcasting from Israel after Holocaust and Heroism Remembrance Day, marked by a somber address by the Prime Minister and later what seems to have been a fresh ritual Jew killing. The Prime Minister's words were unnerving last evening for their honesty. But because his delivery few will heed him, his focus, of course, for the occasion, spoken at Yad Vashem, was the recent P5+1 capitulation to Iran, a country the Prime Minister likened to Nazi Germany. Last night, he took note of the now reflexive, politically correct expression on such days of never again, spoken by Western world leaders, when formally, ceremonially honoring the Holocaust, but then they lust for deals with Iran and decide to sell out the 6 million Jews in Israel. Bibi rightly spoke that number. He described Iran's aggression in the region, its shameless public expressions of wanting to destroy the state of Israel, God forbid, and he took note of the deal-making with Iran, as if its intentions were not known by the P5+1. He quoted the prophet Yeshayahu, in English Isaiah, who spoke of darkness and deep darkness covering the earth, as the Prime Minister referenced the blindness of those in Lausanne to what their eyes tell them of this country of Iran. He made the chilling point that the lesson of the Holocaust has not been learned, though, as usual, for an Israeli, did not explicitly name and describe the lesson. Israelis like Bibi have a hard time with that. He used the word tyranny to describe Iran's regime. True enough, but it's a special kind of tyranny. Bibi, I don't think, used the word anti-Semitism in his speech to refer to anything but its recrudescence elsewhere, if at all, for Israelis have a hard time linking it to our mortal enemies. Israelis like Bibi find it hard to explicitly accuse Iran and other Muslims of old-fashioned Jew hatred, expressed in classical fantasies of Jewish evil. One example is Iran, referring to the U.S. and Israel as the big Satan and the little Satan, though sometimes Jew hatred like this flips the relationship, and the Iranians imagine Israel is the great power manipulating the puppet U.S. And Hitler believed that. He believed the Bolsheviks to his east were all Jews in the Kremlin plotting against him, and that the clash between capitalism and communism, the empires of the Kremlin and the Wall Street were all was only a mirage, a Jewish deception, for Jews were simultaneously behind the capitalists and the communists against him and his Third Reich. In other words, while the Prime Minister last night likened Iran to Nazi Germany, he still might have gone further and targeted the P5+1 countries for being up to their old tricks via the Jewish people. On the bright side of the news, though, since last webcast, we did see the unanimous Senate Foreign Relations Committee this week. 10 Republicans and 9 Democrats, all in agreement that whatever deal His Holiness Imam Barack Hussein comes up with for Iran, Congress must oversee it and approve it. That vote was therefore quite a statement, the closest thing in the American system to a vote of no confidence in the government. And that, in other systems, leads to bringing down the government. The heartwarming side of the vote was the unavoidable truth for the Democrats that their president is not to be trusted in his handling of foreign affairs, specifically in the Middle East. This is, after all, the Foreign Affairs Committee, and all the members read the news. The Middle East, since their president, the Democrats, took office, has exploded, and the prognosis for American interests in the region is bleak, even ominous. In other words, after 6 years, the truth about this man Obama can no longer be denied. During the Lausanne talks at the end of last month, even the MSM could not refrain from reporting that inside the negotiations, the U.S. had become a spokesman for Iran against the others. So that's been this week's good news, but it was little comfort last evening, listening to the Prime Minister address the assembled members, dignitaries at Yad Vashem, to commemorate the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II, when the full extent of the Nazi madness and evil it drenched the world in became apparent. And then at midnight, another Jew was murdered. And another Jewess who was with him remains fighting for her life after what seems to have been a deliberate vehicular homicide, again with an Arabian at the wheel who seems to have deliberately run over those two Jews. He was a counselor at the Beit El Yeshiva. Shalom Yochai Sherki Hashem Yikom Damo, which means may God avenge his blood. For man cannot, Jews don't believe in revenge, nothing can bring him back to life. This son of a distinguished rabbi, a young man beloved by his charges, he was buried late this afternoon. I guess being the eternal people means eternally being martyred in every generation in varying degrees of intensity depending on the circumstances. In every generation, assuming last night's crash was deliberate, there is no shortage of men and women so crazed with hatred of Jews, they believe all Jews deserve to die. And even for Muslims, what a great way to leave this life and enter the eternal drunken paradise of orgies for all eternity by murdering Jews and dying in the process. Though this driver was reported to be not in serious condition, if he was hoping to kill himself too, he failed at that. But it's always been that way, hasn't it? I mean, in every generation, there is no shortage of people who think Jews are evil, and all of us deserve to die. You can read some of these people's talkbacks, experience their hysteria. Those who think we stole Palestine from the Palestinians and persecute them every day. Jew hatred has this hysterical flavor to it, a hallucinatory aspect found in the haters who imagine Jews committing evil deeds that we don't. Jesus on the cross is a Jew who in his final moments was the guiltiest man alive, laden with all the sins of mankind. And to this day, in varying degrees of intensity, in the West and the East, we Jews are seen as the guiltiest nation on earth, which does not have the right to exist. It is so guilty. And they're going to have a conference on that in England recently. One day, please God, the goyim, leastwise the uncivilized among them, will learn to confront and deal with their own guilt and stop trying to unload it all on us.
Ani ma'amin be'emunah shlema בביאת המשיח אני מאמין היי ואף על פי שיתממה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא היי ואף על פי שיתממה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא היי ננאי
טננאי
ננאי
טננאי
ננאי טללללאי היי ננאי
טננאי
ננאי
טננאי
ננאי La la
hoy
ani ma'amin be'emunah shlema beviat ha-mashiach ani ma'amin hoy ve'af al pi she'itmameh im kol ze achak elo bechol yom she'yavo היי ואף על פי שיתממה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא היי
ננאי
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 ננאי טללללאי
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-
ואף על פי שיתממה עם כל זה אחק אלו בכל יום שיבוא ואף על פי שיתממה עם כל זה אחק אלו בכל יום שיבוא ואף על פי שיתממה עם כל זה אחק אלו בכל יום שיבוא.
Yeah, the Prime Minister was right last evening to cite Isaiah on the deep darkness covering the earth, which comes to mind as we contemplate the meaning of the P5 plus one powers kowtowing to Iran. And then today's Wall Street Journal piece by former Attorney General under President Bush 43, Michael Mukasey, and Kevin Carroll, in which they responded to remarks by CIA Director John Brennan the other day, attacking those who criticize Obama's Iran plan. Mukasey and Carroll call for Congress to appoint a Team B of analysts, for they believe the CIA is now incapable of objectivity on Iran. The Team B concept, by the way, dates from the 1970s under President Ford, who was dissatisfied with the CIA's analysis of the Soviet Union and its intentions, and appointed an outside team of experts, Team B, to provide a contrasting view. Now Mukasey and Carroll are citing the administration's handling of Benghazi and Bergdahl and the release of terrorist chieftains for him, and as they reject these two, Brennan's defense made of Obama the other day. What was absent from their op-ed, of course, were the rumors at the time of Brennan's appointment 2 years ago of his conversion to Islam. True or not, a video of him singing the praises of Saudi Arabia to Saudi Arabians must be seen as a cause for alarm, for how could a red-blooded American patriot wax so positive about a country and culture so at odds with everything America stands for? Brennan was CIA station chief in Riyadh when he's rumored to have converted. One can only wonder what he found to be so attractive in this religion and the culture that was on display all around him. Mukasey and Carroll simply do not believe that in the CIA run by Brennan, with his Obama-like defense of Iran, any intelligence not supporting his support would be suppressed. In other words, once again, as we were 2 years ago when Obama was reelected and chose Brennan, who though raised the Roman Catholic, was reported not to have taken the oath of office on the Bible but the Constitution. Again, we are worried for the future of the U.S., by extension, Israel. Prime Minister alluded last evening to our isolation in his speech, obliquely suggesting Obama and the P5-1 countries have abandoned us, and we will go it alone if we have to. Yesterday, the Washington Times as well, citing Judicial Watch, reported on an ISIS terrorist training camp just over the Rio Grande from El Paso, Texas, in the Mexico state of Chihuahua, whence ISIS terrorists have already been smuggled into the U.S. via the border that Obama has refused to close. For that behavior, he should have been removed from office a long time ago. Again, the thought comes to mind of future historians who will marvel not only at Obama, but more importantly, how the American people and their representatives did nothing to stop him. It has been a terrible failure of nerve on the part of the culture of this generation of Americans, who now seem so far removed from the so-called greatest generation of 70 years ago. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Yeah, it was a sober and somber National Holocaust and Heroism Remembrance Day. It's our day as a state. It's unlike the UN-invented International Holocaust Day, celebrated, if that's the word, in January, in which the Holocaust is mentioned, but then is followed by a train of victims in history in order to dilute the message of the Jew-hating Holocaust. As the victimizers of women and blacks and sodomites and short people and all of them terrible, terrible sufferers in the hands of Nazi-like bigots. The Prime Minister likened today's Europeans to their forebears who appeased Hitler during the 1930s, even as he was planning to invade his neighbors. Today they're ready as well to let Iran keep its nuclear capability, he said. Quote, many in the world declare that the lessons concluded after the Holocaust are valid today. They declare never again we won't ignore the aspirations of violent tyranny. They promise to oppose the bad things when they emerge, Netanyahu said, but as long as these words aren't put into practice, they're meaningless. Close quote. Notice as well how Bibi himself refers to violent tyranny as the enemy instead of violent, demented anti-Semitism. The thoughts that fuel the Nazis then and Iranians today. He said further, quote, Iranian leaders are exporting death and destruction. The world is not listening to the calls in Iran, urging death to Israel, death to America. The bad deal with Iran signals that the lessons of the Holocaust have not been learned. Appeasing these tyrannical regimes will not increase their proclivity to aggression. Would not only increase their proclivity to aggression, and if this aggression won't be stopped in time, humanity may be dragged into much harsher wars, close quote. The morning's weather today was fittingly weird and foreboding. It was a full-blown winter rainstorm here, with hail, lightning, thunder, atypical of the season. It was, though, in conformity with the gloomy thoughts of the Holocaust today. And then, as the Prime Minister told us, Iran's dreams of another Holocaust tomorrow. On the bright side of the news, though, was a report on Ynet of the development by our defense ministry and defense industries of a new tunnel detection system invented since last summer's 50 days of missile terror and the threat of invasion via tunnel by mad dog Muslim assassins. The report praised the record time from conception to completion of this defense, but one imagines it could not have been too difficult the task. Measuring earthquakes has been around for decades, and planting enough ground sensors around the Gaza rectangle and along the northern border should do the trick. This news this morning, as I say, ironically, fit the tay for what we're talking about, are tunnels dug by homicidal Jew haters who want to use them to penetrate Jewish communities to murder Jews at random. One wonders how many other peoples in this world live this way in fear of homicidal maniacs for neighbors suddenly popping up in the middle of your children's kindergarten to slaughter the children, God forbid, in the name of Allah. One shouldn't be too surprised, though. Yesterday, the New York Times reported on the American troops now back in Iraq, some 4 years after Obama pulled them out, and how some of them are simply stunned by the collapse of the Iraqi army they had trained. Evidently, in short order after their departure, the officers went corrupt, the underlings went corrupt, desertion was rife, training ended, everything fell apart. Though I, for one, am not stunned by this report. In the 14th century, one of Arabi's top historians, Ibn Khaldun, writing from Tunis, addressed the inability of Arabs to serve in formal army formations. Indeed, it is difficult for them to remain loyal to the state they live in, let alone its armed forces. As Lawrence of Arabia was shocked to discover the absence among his Bedouin raiders of any sense of national identity and cohesion, so we should not be shocked as we witness the nation-states created by Lawrence's England and France, after World War I, collapse after two generations. Iraq has become a battleground between religions, Muslims versus Christians, Muslims versus Yazidis, and religious sects, Sunni versus Shia. Syria, too, over 220,000 dead now, the count is. There it's Alawites versus Muslims and jihadis versus Alawites. Yemen is a Sunni-Shia battleground. Libya, too, has split apart east and west and reverted to its tribal culture. Egypt is bled every day by Muslim Brotherhood enthusiasts murdering police and military. The Brotherhood does, and all of its subgroups. It's hard to keep track of them all.
Thank you.
So this has been an abbreviated webcast because on this day the country kind of comes to a bit of a standstill. The TV stations in the evening go dark. During the day, they show documentaries and feature films about World War II. The day is filled with events marking the Nazi madness. The newspapers carry one story after another about the war and the survivors' tales. And last night, another Jew was probably murdered by another Muslim, for whom killing any Jew is a pious and virtuous act. Well, be back again on Thursday, God willing. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.